you guys. I know, this is a weird time.
I got a landscaping guy coming. He could be here any minute. So if he rings a doorbell or something, I'm going to have to go deal with him. Jenny can shut the show down.
Yeah, I didn't actually know that he was coming or what time he was coming, so we were
He's coming
like,
and going.
Yeah, so we're kind of like running around trying to like figure out when we can squeeze the show in without like too much interruption.
Yeah.
But so that we might have to cut this one short.
Yeah, not a big deal though. This is a very simple movie. It's not a famous movie. An independent film that really punches above its weight. We saw it again last night. It was good, real good. I want to get this one on DVD. You can buy it $20 on DVD, or you can watch it free on YouTube. There's kind of a bad copy of it up there, but it's got Sanskrit
or Arabic subtitles or something.
And it's real low resolution, so some of the scenes that had computer graphics in it looked pretty bad. And the costumes don't quite look as good as they look in HD. But this movie here is all story. Story and acting and world building. I liked it. It's real good. It just kind of reminded me of a little bit like, almost kind of like Duel. It's happening in the desert, but it's between dudes chasing each other out in the desert. This fucking stormtrooper type dudes chasing this dangerous alien fugitive that got away from them. And the story starts unfolding. You find more and more about the situation and a bunch of cat and mouse stuff and bounty hunters show up and it's good. Real good. I liked it.
Like I said, this just goes to show that you don't need a shit ton of money. You don't need a shit ton of effects or, you know, CGI or anything like that to make something that's, like, pretty compelling. Because I'm not actually sure how much this costs to make.
Nothing, from what I remember.
Yeah, it was, like, nothing. Yeah, hardly anything.
Yeah.
Now, the guy that made this, Sandy Calora, I guess, I didn't know this, but I guess he kind of got a name for himself back in 2003, and he kind of made the rounds of, like, Comic-Con, and he made this, like, $30,000 fan film called Batman Dead End. I think it was animated. I saw this one thing where it was, like, it was Batman fighting the Predator, fighting the Thing? I can't remember now, but everybody thought it was just the most awesome thing ever. So, and it was like really lush because he'd spent quite a bit of money on it for a fan film. So he kind of got really famous from that. So on the back of that, he was able to like raise some money to make this Hunter Prey, which I think is his first feature film.
Yeah.
I think it came 2009, 2010, somewhere around there.
It's an unofficial sequel to Enemy Mine.
Pretty much, yeah. It's definitely in the same universe because they do actually have a discussion about Drax. There aren't any Drax in it.
Yeah, they talk about the Drax.
But they talk about the Drax as like another species.
Yeah,
that's going on. I think. Well, the Sidonians, right? Are some of the aliens that are in this. Yeah. But yeah, so the thing is, it's kind of hard to talk about this without spoiling. Because there's kind of like a reveal that happens about 30 minutes in.
Yeah, this movie's not really well known, so we're not going to spoil anything. It's just we're going to say this is a great movie. It's a great little movie, punching way above its weight. It's all story and acting and action. Really good costumes. Great score. Really good score. It's kind of like a classic desert action score. It's like something out of Hills Have Eyes or... like Hills Have Eyes or what was the other one? It kept reminding me of Duel. I don't know why. It reminded me of like an old 70s desert western movie, but it's in space. It's not on Earth. It's on another planet. It's kind of like Tatooine, kind
of. I think some of the cinematography was meant to evoke things like Planet of the Apes.
Yeah.
Stuff like that.
Yeah, that's right. The soundtrack did sound like Planet of the Apes.
From what I could think. And that was intentional. Like, he was definitely trying to do kind of like a 60s, 70s sci-fi kind of look and feel to it.
Yeah.
But like you said, it is very much like Enemy Mine as well, where it's kind of like enemies on a planet and they're like, you know, they're chasing each other or trying to survive on this... in this harsh environment. And so it's kind of similar to that. And like I said, they do talk about the Drax, even though the aliens in this are not Drax.
The costumes are basically armor, and it's real functional. It's like something that soldiers would actually wear, you know, being ex-military myself. And a lot of the equipment is, you could tell that it's handmade leather, some kind of plastic or carbon fiber armor. They have like a fucking data link up system where they're talking to AI computers that can do a bunch of stuff. There's implants, like tracking implants, all kinds of good. Oh, and the armors can dispense drugs and steroids to keep you fucking going if you get wounded. They can do whole like medical procedures on you. But it's like realistic. U.S. Army was actually interested in that kind of stuff. Things that could, suits that if they are perforated would start like, you know, dispensing blood clotting agents and you know, fucking adrenaline and painkillers. And these guys have all that. They got cool guns that look like they really work. Just the costumes are really well made. The aliens look good, real good. It does not look like a cheap movie. It looks expensive.
It does, actually. Yeah. I was surprised.
Even in low res, you see the free copy on YouTube. It looks expensive. But I remembered it, seeing it on DVD, and it looked even better in HD. Or, you know, as high a definition as DVD went back in those days, which is probably, what, 720? I think it might have been 720 back in those days. It looked real good. Some of the armor, you can see the kind of the weathering on it. It looks like airbrushing, but I think that's just the nature of a low-resolution copy. Some of the space scenes look kind of video gamey, but then again, I think it's just this copy because I didn't remember them standing out as looking real fake when I saw it on DVD. But then again, it doesn't matter. This is not that kind of movie. It's the kind of movie. It's mostly just about action out in the desert, almost kind of like a Western. It's not dependent on CGI to be entertaining. It's all story and acting. It's got real good acting in it. I'll give it that.
I think the only CGI in this is just like the ships landing and stuff like that.
Ships landing, very like establishing shots that are happening in space.
Yeah, that kind of stuff.
He has a pistol that fires out a damn wave of energy. That oh, yeah, that's right. It's like a non-lethal pistol. You can shoot it and it shoots out kind of like a ball of fucking air, I guess, or and if it hits you, it throws you.
Just knocks your ass down.
Yeah, that was CG. Like it slapped you, like it fucking punched you.
I will say too, when you were talking about the thing that dispenses the drugs and everything, they essentially, the Sidonians essentially have, it's kind of like the ship's computer in Star Trek, where it's just kind of like a, it's like a woman's voice. Her name's Clea.
Yeah.
And she monitors all your shit. She can, like, you know, tell you where stuff is and tell you what your heart rate is. And
each guy has his own relationship with her, too.
But she's, like, the same. And I will say, too, that she is voiced by Erin Gray.
Oh, okay. Yeah. She's in a lot of
Of Buck films. Rogers fame. Of She was on Silver Spoons. She was actually on the Netflix Mystery Science Theater. She was on Reptilicus.
She's on Star Trek Continues.
That's
She's
right.
She's also on Star Trek Continuing Voyages. She'll do a lot of the fan films.
Yeah. Fan films, yeah. She seems cool that way.
Yeah.
But yeah, she does the voice of Clea in this one, which is actually quite a big part.
Yeah, it's the main character role. You just never see her. They're here talking to her on a headset.
Yeah, they just talk to her on the headset. Thank you very much, Aaron. Haven't donated for Pookie treats in a while. Aww.
Thank you.
Do you hear that, Pookie? She's crashed out over there by her toy pile.
Yeah. She'd get into a pile of toys and just fold up.
And just right. She's like, oh, my toys. Yay. Aww. Yeah. Also, I didn't know this either, but like the guy that plays Centauri 7.
Yeah.
His name's Damien Poitier. Mm-hmm. And I think he's related to Sidney Poitier.
Probably.
He was actually the first uncredited guy that played Thanos in the Marvel Cinematic Universe in the Avengers in 2012.
There's a lot of good hand-to-hand action, a lot of good kind of realistic small unit military tactics happen in it. So somebody was in the military who helped write this movie. A lot of the dialogue and the, you know, the discipline structure within between the ranks is pretty accurate for a lot of elite military. They fight a lot of fucking fist fights and shit, and it's kind of hyper macho. It's a hyper macho movie. If you like that kind of shit, Jenny loved it too. It's just
it's good.
It's just badass.
Manly, yes, but I like it too. Yeah, as Irish Spring.
Manly. It's badass motherfuckers from different planets fighting over stuff for high stakes, and they're all different. Liked it. Good movie.
Yeah, I mean, basically, do we even say what the setup is? Because, like I said, I don't want to spoil too much about it because there's a couple reveals, and the plot isn't super complicated.
No.
But the setup is that there's a bunch of Sidonians, and they are transporting a prisoner who they say, you know, he's the last of his kind or whatever. They're transferring him somewhere, and their ship, I don't remember where they're transferring him to, but they're taking him someplace, and their ship crashes on this uncharted desert planet.
Yeah. And he's getting away.
Which is actually Mexico. They shot that in Mexico.
Is it? Yeah, looks good.
It does. It does look like an alien planet, actually.
This creature's getting away, so they're trying to track it down. And as the story unfolds, the captain who's kind of leading the retrieval mission, they're the only survivors of the crash.
Yeah.
He's kind of holding back information about this creature. And as it kind of unfolds, they all realize that the mission's a lot more important than they thought it was.
Yeah.
It's not just a fugitive. There's a lot more to it. And then it just keeps going, and you keep finding out more and more about what the hell's going on. And you learn, each character in it has their own character and their own motivations. They're all good characters. And, you just got to see how it goes down. It's a good movie.
It really is. And as I said, it sucks that you can't really stream it anywhere. Like I said, you can watch it for free on YouTube, but it has Arabic subtitles on it.
Yeah.
And it's not a real high-res copy. No. It's watchable. But it doesn't look as good as we've seen it look.
Yeah.
Because how did we see it before?
I had a copy of it on DVD, a burned DVD copy.
That's right. Where did that go?
Gone.
Oh.
Gone. The movie is just kind of like it was a tiny indie film that didn't get much attention and just kind of vanished. You can get it on DVD, and a Blu-ray, I think, is special order. They want $40 for it on Amazon.
Yeah, I put it on our Amazon storefront. The DVD is cheaper, but you can get it on Blu-ray.
And it's not a cheap DVD. It's $20.
Yeah.
A cheap DVD's $5. So,
but
this
I mean,
is a collector's item.
Right.
And nobody's streaming it. So it's worth watching. If you like Enemy Mine or any kind of sci-fi action, if you like Westerns, if you like... if you like The Mandalorian.
It gave me that kind of vibe, too. Like, it's kind of like Enemy Mine, but not, like, as funny.
Right.
And it has more action and, like, just more fighting in it and kind of, like, ambushes and shit like that. So, in that way, it was kind of like Enemy Mine meets The Mandalorian.
Yeah, and this predates Mandalorian by many years.
Yeah, this was 2010, or maybe 2009.
Yeah, but you can see a lot of this in you can see a lot of this in Mandalorian. Wouldn't surprise me if Jon Favreau saw this and went, that's a badass.
Maybe
shit.
So. I didn't really see...
The tone is real similar.
Yeah. I didn't really see a lot of reviews of this. I saw a couple dudes on YouTube that reviewed it. And a bunch of them did point out, like, the Enemy Mine thing.
Yeah.
Like I said, it's not tonally... I don't know. Plot-wise, it's kind of similar to Enemy Mine, but tonally, it's a little bit different than that.
More like
I said, it's more like Mandalorian, the tone of it. And I don't want to say that you can tell it's low budget, because when we were watching it last night, there were, like, a couple shots that, you know, you can tell that they're just trying to pad out, make it a little bit longer. This guy, like, walking along. I was like, well, it looks nice, though. So
it looks nice, and they were homaging 70s stuff.
Yeah.
Where you're walking through the lens flare in the desert at night, you know, and to try to give you the sensation of a passage of time, you know.
Yeah, I didn't mind it.
No, it's fine. I mean, the movie's not overly long, so they can do that.
Yeah.
And it's a simple story that's keeping you wondering what the hell's going to happen. It's almost like a very, very long... It's like a double... Kind of like a double episode of The Mandalorian. Kind of feels about like that.
Yeah, that's actually a good...
Yeah.
Yeah. And it's kind of a shame that this didn't get more traction, because, you know, it seems like this movie was, I mean, for as low a budget as it had, was actually better than some of the kind of really big, you know, super expensive sci-fi movies.
Yeah.
Just by having, like, good characters and just, like, a simple story that actually kind of kept you guessing and kind of kept you interested in what exactly was going on, because there, you know, like, you get like revealed little bits of information about this mission, you know, as the time goes on.
DJ Maniac says the Batman movie was live action. Yeah, it's called Batman Dead End.
Yeah, I said that, but for some reason I thought it was animated.
Okay.
I don't know why. I think I read something about it somewhere, and I think somebody said it was animated, and I was like, but I didn't remember. Yeah. But then I was watching something else, and they were talking about that guy. And that's kind of how he got known, like, in 2003, by making that. Because he kind of, like, upped the game for fan films.
Yeah.
Sort of thing. And I kind of feel like, ooh, there goes my creepy phone again.
My creepy phone. So is this considered a fan film? Or is it just an indie film?
I wouldn't consider it a fan film. You'd have to like take
property, right?
Yeah, yeah, you would have to take it like an IP that was already existing and making your own shit in it, and you can't like make money from it because of copyright. This is its own story. They like I said, they do bring up the Drax from Enemy Mine.
Because they could,
but there's no Drax in it. They just talk about them like they exist out there. Right. You know what I mean?
And
they
so it's an indie film.
So yeah, it's just like an independent film. It's not a fan film. Right. It does have like homage to other movies, but it's totally its own thing, and it's got its own lore. And, you know, like I said, I think it's really cool, like, that somebody is that, you know, like, so that into the movies. You can make, like, a really good movie with hardly anything.
Yeah,
really.
I give it 5 stars out of 5.
It's super fun. If
just
you like
based
sci-fi.
On the end product and knowing what they paid for that. It's just like, there should be a lot more of these being made. In terms of, this is the way to make a movie.
Yeah.
You don't need to spend a bunch of money.
Shot in 18 days.
You don't need a bunch of money. You just need a good story and good acting. And people that care about their craft.
Yeah.
And this has got good acting through the whole thing.
And the cinematography is really nice, too, I have to say. The cinematography is, like, way better than it has any right being.
Yep.
So that's why I would kind of recommend getting it on DVD or Blu-ray.
Yeah,
if you just want to see it, then, yeah, you can watch it on YouTube for free, but it doesn't look as good.
Man, for first impressions, man, buy this.
That's what I would think.
Yeah.
It's just a shame it's not streaming anywhere. Why doesn't somebody rent it? I mean, Amazon Prime could rent it, or I've seen, like, way shittier movies
maybe
on Amazon Prime that's available.
Maybe it's a licensing problem.
Maybe. I don't know what it is, but it's kind of sad, and that's why, I mean, I'm glad that you brought it up and what we were talking about Enemy Mine, because I was like, well, we saw it a long time ago, and I remember it being really good, and I was like, man, we should, like, clue more people into that, because I think more people should see it, you know?
Yeah.
Support that kind of, like, independent filmmaking. I think that's a really good thing to be doing.
Yeah, it actually, and when it ends, it leaves this open possibility for a sequel.
I wonder if he's ever going to make one. I mean, it's been like 11 years, but...
It's been like 11 years, but it's happened before.
That's true.
It's happened before.
Yeah, maybe he'd be like, I'm going to circle back around to that. Why not?
Yeah.
All right. So, I know we've only been on for like 20 minutes or something, but...
Yeah,
if you weren't here at the beginning, the reason we were late starting is we had a workman here, and he had to leave, and then he has to come back, like, to do some more shit. So he's maybe going to be, like, banging around and stuff. Yeah. I think he's going to do, like, landscaping and stuff, too.
I'm going to have him hang up that spice rack on the inside of the door, too.
Oh, okay. So he's just a regular-ass handyman. Yeah. So he's going to be, like, banging around in the house, and we're not entirely sure when he's going to be back, so we... Probably should cut this short because it's going to be ringing the doorbell in a second.
Yeah.
But so we'll be back tomorrow. Going to try and do 3 p.m. again, like usual. I think we're going to watch that that movie with The Rock that's on Netflix.
Yeah.
Remember? We'll watch that tonight. We'll talk about that. I can't remember what it's called, but it looked funny. So we'll do that tomorrow. So thanks, everybody, for dropping by. Sorry for the short notice. Sorry for not being on that long. But yeah, we got this dude coming. So. We will see you guys again tomorrow afternoon. Bye.